This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we thank you. We exalt you. We give you praise. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for life. We exalt you because you are the one. You are the shepherd. He said you are the shepherd. You are the one that leads flock. You are the chief shepherd. You are the one that moves your sheep from pasture to pasture. Lord, we thank you as Love Seal Church this morning that you have led us to this pasture. You have led us to this. You have led us through your set man to consider these words. Lord, we bless your name. And Father, we ask that all your intention, Lord, we will come to it as a people in the name of Jesus. You will help us, Lord. You will move us forward, Lord. You will cause us to make movements. You will cause grace to be multiplied to us. At the end of this series, Lord, will not remain the same in the name of Jesus. You will help me to come under that pasture. Help me to partake of it. Help me to glean from everything that you have in store for your people. Lord, I ask for mercy. The mercy of utterance, the mercy of entrance that you will grant to me. Open my eyes again. Turn me from within again. Help me, Lord. Authorize me again, even to speak these words in the name of Jesus. Let grace flow. Let grace flow from your set man. Let it flow. Let it flow in the name of Jesus. Open ears. Open hearts. Break fallow grounds in the name of Ruah, Lord. Let the Ruah resound on our within. Let the Ruah resound on our within in the name of Jesus. Let us hear clearly. Let us see clearly. Let us speak clearly in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We exalt you. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the theme for this lesson is, we are going to say it together, the great harvest. And then we are considering the church and the household of faith. Our first lesson is an introduction. Okay, so can we read? We are reading Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 7. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Among whose, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. So far as you enter, for say, peace be to this house, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Hallelujah. Can we read Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 37? But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. John chapter 4, verse 35 to 38. Say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying through, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and you have entered into their labors. Hallelujah. Psalms 68, verse 6. God setteth the solitary and families. He bringeth out those who are born with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now, let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 47 to 48. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until received the early and the latter rain. Now, one of the objectives of this lesson is firstly to establish to us to have an understanding that God has a long desire concerning the great harvest. Age-long desire. When they say age, age is not my age. Age-long. It means that since God created man, he had that age-long what? Age-long desire for the great harvest. It's just sad that many of us are not firstly aware of this desire, and we don't desire what the Lord desires. The second objective is to bring a differentiation between the plenteous and the great harvest. You know, Jesus in the gospel indicated the place of plenteous harvest and the great harvest. And from what we will begin to see as the Lord helps us is to differentiate that when the Lord speaks harvest, there are different kinds of harvest. And the Lord will give us eyes to see it in the name of Jesus. And then another objective is that we'll be able to look at the different, you know, constituents, the progression of the great harvest. You know, when you talk about harvest, one thing that comes to mind, you can't talk about harvest without a process that involves planting, correct? Is there any farmer that will talk about harvest? When you hear harvest, just know that there has been years of labor. Anything, when you say harvest, you just know that there's labor. Amen. The world is creating a world where there's no process of labor. You know, those quick fixes. Quick fixes, one thing, the mindset that quick fixes push is a mindset of no labor. But you just come to that place. But that is not about the Lord. When the Lord says he has an age-long desire, it means that, you know something about desire of God? Desire of God is not passive. It's not dreaming. You know, many of us, we wish our life is better, but you don't take step. Many of us wish for a better future, but you don't take step. But that is not it with the Lord. When the Lord is talking about a great harvest, it means that he has committed resources. He has committed labor for him to have that great harvest. Amen. And the Lord will have what he desires. Amen. And then one other thing we are going to look at is to look at the role of the church and the things that constitute the church. You know, when we say church, church is not a building. You know, church is not this building. Church is a people. Church is a home. Church is family. And there are constituents that every church actually has in terms of homes and hold. Church is not a standalone. You know, people say, Anche Church, I entered a bus some years back and they say we are doing church, you know. You know, it looked like a very strange concept. As if, you know, you are just playing church. Church is a living entity of God. You know, the first thing the Lord created is actually households and family. You know, family, there was family before church. Amen. But you see, one thing that our Lord Jesus was able to do was to integrate these two entities. When you see church, when you hear family, they are constituents that are resided in God. They are things that God is. The things that make up all of these constituents are things that make up the Lord. Amen. You know, God is a family man. So the Lord will help us to look at all these objectives through the course of the lesson. Through our scripture, we see clearly that men are likened to trees or plants. When we also see the concept of we being the husbandry of God, because when God equates men, equates the world to like a cultivation, it shows that there's a place of nurture. Say nurture. You know, to bring and prepare men to eternal fulfillment. Jesus healed a blind man, Mark 8, verse 24. And he said, he looked up and said, I see men as what? Trees walking. I see men as what? Trees walking. So in the mind, I want to also read also Psalm 1. Let's start from verse 1. He said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a what?
tree planted by the what? Rivers of water that bringeth forth what? His fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, he shall what? So men are trees. So look at your brother. That's a tree. Look at your sister. That's a tree. So when the Lord, I'm just telling you, there's a vision. You know, the view. When, that's a tree. There's a tree beside you. We do not know what kind of tree he is. Is he a shrub? Is he a herb? Is he iroko? Is he, you know what? Is he mahogany? What kind of, ask your brother, what kind of a tree are you? Is he a weed? I hope we don't have weed in this church. I hope we don't have grasses in this church. You know, I hope we don't have all of those. A tree. Amen. So that healing of that man, you know, it was a twofold healing. Jesus first healed him. And he actually saw, should I call it a metaphysical expression of what man is? Because if you go to the Garden of Eden, you see that, not those tree of life, is not just a tree. It was a being. And man was supposed to become such, a tree planted in the Garden of Eden. I mean, sometimes you have heard some allegory when somebody has fallen, said a big tree has gone home. Have you heard such allegory? You know that, Iroko, Otishubu, you know, it talks about nurture. You know, if they don't use that concept of tree, we might not understand nurture. But there are trees. You know, the concept of that is to make us understand the concept of nurture, culture, and growth and planting. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3:9. We want to establish something that God's intention is to nurture and bring man to maturity so that we can come towards fulfillment of our internal purpose. Can we read, church? With God, you are God's what? Husbandry. You are God's what? You see, when scriptures say this, they say this to help the mind of man. So able to comprehend, because when you say husbandry, the husbandry talks about a process of cultivating of crops, of management of soil. Amen. For benefit of reaping something to produce. When you say husbandry, and it can also be a process of cultivating of animals, livestock, domestic animals, sheep. So, you know, the Bible, we call man plant trees. It will also call men sheep. You know, there are sheep and goats. You know, so it's to drive home the concept of nurture, the concept of cultivating, the concept of growth. So we are God's husbandry. So when they say that, just know, God's husbandry, just begin to identify us. Am I a shrub? Am I a tree? Am I a flower? Am I a leaf? You know, just begin to identify yourself. Through our scripture, we see God liking men as trees. And so when you hear tree, maybe you, sometimes the Lord can even speak to you prophetically. You know, when you hear trees, you don't start looking for which kind of tree. You know that they are talking about your soul. You know, one of the things about trees is that they stand erect. One other thing about trees is that they are planted in a place. They nurture. They grow. They stand erect. And then God desires to reap the entirety of man's spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace, what? Sanctify you, what? Holy, what? Soul and body. Be preserved, what? Until what? The coming of our Lord Jesus, the very God of peace. You see why this scripture is a scripture we should know when your peace is being threatened. That peace is for every area of your body. You say, for the very God of peace, the God of peace, his intention is to sanctify. So when God is talking about, God's desire is to reap man. Say, reap man. God does not only want to reap spirits. God wants to reap soul. God wants to reap, God to reap men who are quickened in their spirits, men who are quickened in their soul, men who are quickened in their body. God does not only want to reap born again Christian. God wants to reap people who are Christ's nature. God wants to reap spiritual men. God wants to reap divine men. God wants to reap every cadre of what man was supposed to be. Hallelujah. And one of the things the Lord does by reaping this, he orchestrates gathering. Say gathering. And planting that take place within fields. Now, there is the Lord of the harvest. Say Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest is the Holy Ghost. Say Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost oversees the labor that is carried out in the field to ensure that God's purpose on every man is brought to what? Fusion. Who do we call the Holy Ghost? Lord of the harvest. The Holy Ghost inside of you, his purpose is not to give you goose pimples. His purpose is not to make you speak in tongues. His purpose is not to cause you to be anointed and people are being slain. His purpose, all of those things he does as a signation, his major purpose is to reap harvest inside of you and to allow you connect to the harvest without. The Holy Ghost, the Lord of the harvest, is the one that oversees, is the one that sends laborer, is the one that will quicken hearts, is the one that does all the movement, is the one that when the Holy Ghost is correcting you, when the Holy Ghost is bringing church, he wants to reap harvest. When the Holy Ghost wants to move you, when the Holy Ghost is bringing a lot of leading, dealing, excuse me, he's not giving you dealing and leading to make you feel good or to make you feel, no, he has an intention, harvest. Act 1. But you shall what? Receive power. After who? Excuse me. So can you say the reason for power? Say power of the Holy Ghost. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. Under the power of the Holy Ghost is for you to be a witness. Hallelujah. Unto me, both where? In Jerusalem. Firstly, a witness within you. And then you go unto. Can you see the twofold acts of witnesses? Unto what? Me, where both in what? Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to where? The uttermost. Say uttermost. Uttermost part of the earth. Say uttermost. When the Lord is dealing with you and I, he has uttermost in mind. When the Lord is dealing with Brother Samuel, God is thinking China. When the Lord is dealing with, God is thinking, in fact, places we don't, you know, there are some places that you don't know. To places God is thinking uttermost. Anywhere man is, God is thinking it. And that is the reason for power. So is he one that oversees what? Is the Lord of the harvest. Now, when God commanded Adam to tend and guard the garden, it was a foreshadow of what man was supposed to co-labor with God with. So the tending, he said, tending of the ground. He said that was the one work he gave him to dress and keep the garden. Is to be a co-laborer. Say co-laborer. Because the person that planted that garden, now God though, he said the Lord planted the garden in Eden and put man that he has made to tend and what? Keep it. To tend and what? Cultivate it. So God expected, you know, a maximum tending in that garden. And of course, we know what the adversary, say adversary. When you hear adverse, somebody who is adverse to harvest, somebody who is adverse to growth, say adverse. You know, have you heard adverse weather? Something that is totally different. It's adverse to progress. You see, adversity in man. And he did that through what? Man's disobedience. And man became vulnerable what? To the enemy. However, through disobedience, man's field became vulnerable and accessible to what? The enemy. I want us to read Matthew chapter 13. So, you see, the field that God wants to reap his harvest for is the heart and the soul of man. You know, the heart is a component of the soul. Do you know that? At new birth, we were quickened, right? We were quickened in our spirit, and then our soul and our body was purchased. The soul and the body are the purchased possessions. Say purchased possession. So what was purchased is actually what? The heart of man. Amen. What was purchased is the soul of man. And where harvest? Say harvest. Harvest is supposed to take place is in the soul of man. Now, the issue, my brothers and sisters, the issue is not for the harvest of God wanting to reap in us. The issue is not that I am born again. You see, a seed is a seed. If you plant a good seed and you plant it into a wrong ground, what kind of fruit are you going to get? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, at born again, when we became born again, we were quickened, Abby. We have the Spirit of God. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Abi, all of us, we know how to wrap that. But you see, that seated in heavenly places, there's a ground that Satan has tampered with. Now, the adversary did not only sow a seed. The adversary tampered with the ground. So when they say, ye are somewhere darkness, our ground at new birth was darkness. So there was a seed. I said there was a seed. That's why when you read scripture and you think about these things, you begin to discern the adversary of our Lord again. That what the workings of what Satan did in taking the ground from Adam was not just he sowed, you know, he sowed another. He did not only sow another seed. He tampered with the ground of man. He tampered in a way that any seed that comes in there cannot prosper. The tamperation, even if you sow a good, you saw it in Mark chapter 4, this parable of the sower. Did we not see it? There was nothing wrong with that seed. That seed was the incorruptible seed. They say a sower went to sow. But what was wrong was the different ground. They called one ground a wayside art. They called another one stony. They call another one rocky. The ground is the issue. That is because the ground has issue. That's why a believer can still have works of the darkness. A believer can still be caught with some. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So some people can say, hey, Chika is born again. Why is he doing that? Because the ground still has problem. The ground, Satan made it strong. Kakaranka. They call it fallow. Have you seen a fallow ground? If you see some ground, that the ground is fallow does not mean things are not growing on it. If you see a fallow ground, you see corico, you see thorns, you see briars, you see all manners. You wonder how is it growing. But if you plant a good seed in that ground, kole grow. So Satan has created grounds that things can grow on, except the seed of God. So he tampered with the ground so much that the ground was tight. Say tight. He cannot allow hair. He cannot take sun. There's some ground they need to bring machine to break it. Because water not go in. See, manure will not go in. Nothing will go in because that ground has an issue. So the adversary of God did not only plant another seed. The adversary of God, what did he also do? He tampered with the ground. Hallelujah. So we saw that, like I explained, man's spirit died and became permanently barren. The ground of man, after that death of what happened to man, man's spirit died and it was permanently what? Damaged. Amen. Let's read Matthew. I want us to read Matthew 13. 18 to 19. Just so you know that it's a heart. He said, hear ye therefore the parable. Jesus was trying to explain the parable. He said, hear ye what? The parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understanding it not, there cometh what? You know, understanding sits in the ground. It's not from the seed. And then catcheth away that which was sown where. So the heart is the field. This is which received the seed by the wayside. Then let's now read Matthew 13:25-26. But while men slept, his enemy came and what? Sowed tares among the wheat and went where? His way. And when the blade was what? Sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares. So you see, this thing was also what happened. Some people say, how come God planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? The enemy did it. Now, but you know something? Great, because that garden was a garden of Eden. That tree grew because there was nothing wrong with that ground. It was that seed that had an issue. There was nothing wrong with that ground. That ground had the ability to bring forth, to multiply seed, and it multiplied. So you see that there are two things for a believer: the seed and the ground. The seed and the ground. So the ground grew, and so the enemy planted that seed, and you know, man partaking of it did a terrible work. Dual work of bringing a seed. But because, you know, listen, God's people, man was made from the ground of Garden of Eden. So the seed that Adam took in created a ground for growth. If we can look at our lives, that, you know, they say man is from dust. You should know that all your being, you are a field, you are a ground, and things grow inside of you. Bitterness grows, hatred grows. Because why? Where you are made from, you were made from things that grow things. That's why man can grow. I mean, we see the basic concept of our biology, our children growing. Everything about man can grow. And that's why you need to be careful of what you take in. You need to be careful of seed that is sown inside of you. You need to be careful of what is planted in you. You know when? That Proverbs 4:23. With all diligence, out of it flows what? When they say, out of it, issues of life, you know, out of it grow. Issues of, so you have ability to grow things. You know, we tell our husbands that if you give a woman trouble, she will give you hell. I'm telling you, you know, every man grows. Another species to be done, you say woman. Because a woman now has a oven. You know that womb is oven. To cook things. Amen. But everything about a man has ability to grow things. I just want you to know that your whole being is a ground and has ability to grow things. Amen. But Satan did not only tamper with seed. Satan tamper with ground. Now that's why, you know, there's a mind this meeting, these lessons must leave us with. So it is revealed that the cultivation of manna requires greater labor because of sin produces what? Thorns, bread resistance, corruption, and what? Unyieldedness of heart that must be dealt with before a fruitful harvest could be what? Obtained. So when they say a ground is cursed, the ground that should have become nurtured, that should have brought off things, that ground became cursed. You know what is cursed? Limitation. It means that for that ground to come into a place of blessing again, things must happen to that ground. They first must purchase that ground. They now need to begin to do work on that ground. Amen. Hosea 10:12. He said what? In righteousness. Reap in mercy. He says what? Break up your what? Fallow ground. For it is time to what? Till it come what? So when they are talking about, you know, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, they have to let you know that before you can reap this mercy, you need to break for fallow ground. What is fallow ground? Student of agriculture. When they say something is fallow, what is it? It means it's unproductive, Abi. It means it is neglected. It means there's no, you know, nothing can thrive in there. That is a cursed ground. Because people, you know, they say, we are not cursed, we are not cursed. It is cursed for me not to be able to nurture life of God. It's a curse when I cannot thrive in change. When I not, you know, it shows that the working of curse is still there. You don't understand. It's a limitation when you cannot thrive in righteousness. So Christ says, sow to yourself in righteousness. Do what? Reap in mercy. But you see, you cannot sow and reap in mercy. When what? Your fallow ground is, you know, we need to see a fallow ground. So the curse is a limitation. And this is what Satan was able to create to the ground of man. So Satan did not only introduce seed, Satan also created a ground. Let me tell you, the reason why you struggle with change is your ground. It's your ground. You see, when that Genesis 3 happened, the ground was caused for man, right? But it was in Genesis 4, our brother Cain. You know, Cain was our brother. He was our brother. Brother Cain. Now, you know what brother Cain did? Brother Cain allowed that seed. You know, before a seed grows, it must die. Say die.
Die.
You see that dying is a seed bearing cognizance of the content of what it is with the ground. True brother Cain, seed was not only what was committed to man, the ground of men. Cain brought forth the manifestation of that ground. When he opened his heart, he was one that opened sin to travel to the ground. So sin did not only say in seed, sin traveled to the ground of man. Cain did it. He said, sin lies at your door and knocketh. That door he opened was a ground. That door he opened was a field. And we saw, if you read that Genesis 4:12, now read it. He said, wherefore thou didst lay the ground, you shall know what? Yield unto thee as strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. So this was the journey of man. So we understand that the issue we have is not only our the seed, the issue we also had is also the issue of ground. Are you understanding that I'm born again? I still do this, I still do this. It's ground that is your problem. You might have had the seed quickened. So God wants to take ground. And you know why they must take ground? Harvest sits on ground. Because the head lies on the ground now. So God wants to take ground. Now, introducing the field of the great harvest. During Jesus' earthly portion, he gave many parables concerning the husbandman, the field, the seed, and the harvest. He revealed that his father is the husbandman. He continually supplies the rain for growth and patiently watches over his planting with the expectation of reaping the precious fruit of the earth. Let's read John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my father is the what? Husband man. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? Purgeth it, that he more what? Bring more fruit. Hallelujah. Who is an husband man? I did a little research. They say the husbandman is a landowner. They say the husbandman in old English aristocratic community. Now, when you say husbandman, he's a landowner. And this landowner, he uses family labor. He provides for the family. An husbandman. He said the father is what? Husbandman. You know, husband is house. I'm just trying to link the issue of what we are talking. He said house. He owns a house. So, you know, God is a husbandman. Hallelujah. And his expectation is that he will grow. Now, the process of growth involves what? Weeding, pruning, dressing, cultivating, and sending rain upon what? Upon the field. That connotes that Jesus mostly spoke of it is not what? Instantaneous. So, let me tell you, Look at how many thousand years ago. They tell us at least more than 6,000 years. A tree has been growing. A ground has been forming. And you now want to do magic. Alpha. That's why when people say that because you are born again, full stop, there's nothing more to agree. Then you are joking, man. You have not read the Bible. When they say somebody is an husband man, they won't use husband man if all the Lord was concerned about is for us to be born again. They don't need to prune. They don't need to cultivate anything. They just, you understand? They don't prune the spirit. You prune what you cannot see. So that's why some doctrines are evil. They are evil because they are programmed towards God not having a harvest. Because when you are not mindful of it, you cannot become it. As long as you are not mindful that there's a work of harvest that is going on inside of you, you can't become it. Have you seen people who are professed just that all you need to do is born again? Have you seen them thrive in coming into the reality of righteousness, for an instance? No. Even those that are the forefront leaders, they use these things. They just know the teacher. So our earthly sojourn is designed to what? Ensure that we come to a mature harvest. Luke 8:15. Another fell on what? Good ground. And sprang up and bare fruit on what? On hundredfold is maturity. And when he had said these things, he cried that he that had here, let him what? Hear that there's maturity that you and I need to become. Now, let's read 15. A day, which is what? Honest and good heart. And having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit. You just like we read in James 5:7. He said, behold, the husbandman waited for what? The precious fruit of what? At long patience. This long patience is not that he just wants us to be willing. He tells us that he has been waiting for this thing for long. And he will not stop. He wants to receive both the early and the latter rain. Amen. So the process of pruning. And you know, one of the things, this parable that we all read about Jesus speaking. Can we read Isaiah 61:3 quickly? Let's read it. He said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called what? Trees of what? What again? The planting of the Lord, that it may be what? There are three processes there. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that it might be what? Glorified. So you can see that there is a process that God is committed to have. Excuse me, God is not committed to shabby Christian. On God will reap people who are matured. You see all these things that our pastors, people labor teachers. You see, you and I, if we like, let us be doing dilly-dally. There will be men that will apply themselves. And the husbandman will reap both the early and the latter rain. They say he patiently waited for it. See, his patience is not passive. His patience is active. He's in the midst of the church, working out that this harvest come to manifestation. Let's read that John 15:1. He said, every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he does what? You know, this take it away might think that he gave up. Right? And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? No. You see, this take it away. The answer is in Luke 13:6-9. Luke 13:6-9. He speak also unto this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted where? In his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found what? So can you see any fruit that does not bear fruit, he take it away. This is what happens. Verse 7 is a conversation that happens with that. He now says what? Say, then he said unto the dresser to his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree and I find not. Cut it down. Why cumbere is on the ground? May we not be wasting time. May we not be trees that we are wasting. The portion they've allocated for you, may we not be such. See, why are you wasting the ground? Then who now answered him? That's the Lord of the harvest, the Holy Ghost. He now said unto him, Lord, let it alone, what? This year. Till I shall dig about it and what? That is, let me break the fallow ground. Let me arrange it again. Let me dung it. Dung it to me. Let me put manure. Let me put fertilizer. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that, that shall cut it down. Because people, no tree is for everlasting. I want to say this, sound it in us. That, you see, there's this assumption you might think that, I'm a tree of God. If you do not bear fruit, they will keep doing everything. And they will keep doing everything. You know, if the Holy Ghost gives up on a man, it's done. It's done. That's why Jesus said, anyone that does what? Blaspheme against the Holy Ghost is guilty. You know, the Holy Ghost is the one that can dwell inside a man that is still committing fornication and malice. The Father cannot do that. The substance of the Father cannot do that. So if the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost I was talking about, leave it. Let me put him under dealings. Let me put him under pruning. Let me put him under subjection. I'm just trying to say that it is possible that a believer that is born again might not come to the harvest of eternal life. Jesus is the one saying this parable. Jesus is speaking. Pause and listen. You know when people say there's no fire, Jesus spoke about hell. He spoke about this thing. He spoke about God. He spoke about, Jesus saw, I don't understand. Jesus talk about judgment. I don't know where you're getting your theory. You're not reading your Bible. If Jesus is speaking something, you better pay attention and pause. If Jesus say it is so. He said, leave it. Let us dig ground. So when a believer is not bearing fruit, that's why they will arrange another delay. They will bring another matter. We want fruit to look at yourself. You have been born again. We have not seen fruit of patience. We have not seen fruit of ability to be honest. We have not seen fruit of this. We have not seen fruit of that. They will arrange things around you again. That's the Lord of the harvest, dunging you. When they are doing that, they are just putting you into dung. They will arrange that. Oh yeah, let him go to one home like that. You will know that you are going to shit there. Because sometimes some people might just take interest in you. Your pastor might just be on your case. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that is moving. It might be even your brother. They will just keep asking you questions. Okay, what is your own? Can't you mind? It's the Holy Ghost. They are dunking you again. They want to see fruits. These parables primarily speak of the harvest of the soul. Unlike the spirit is quickened at new birth, the harvest of the soul is gradual, requires consistent labor over time. Through cultivation, instruction, correction, and growth, the soul matures and brings forth the fruit required of it, thereby becoming fit for what? The harvest. Say, becoming fit. Because the harvest is 1 Peter 1:19. Receiving what? The end of your faith. Even what? The salvation of your soul. If you cannot quote that, pinch yourself. You know, the end of it, James 1:21. Can somebody read that for us? The engrafted what?
Engrafted word.
Which is able to do what? To do what? Save your soul.
Save my soul.
That's the maturity they want to see. Amen. Almost all of Jesus' parable concerning husbandry revealed the need for adequate laborers who can tend the plantings of the field and bring them to maturity. In some parables, we see laborers who are idle or lack willingness or diligence in work, while in others, ignorance, unfaithfulness, or lack of understanding hinders a proper cultivation of the field and the realization of the intended what harvest. So we can see that from before this paragraph, the harvest needs a process, it needs a labor, it needs commitment. And it's not like what happened at new birth. It is what, it takes time. I want us to read Matthew chapter 20, 1 to 7. So, one of the things, apart from your ground, your soul issues, one of the things is also lack of laborer. Say laborer. You know that when they say laborer, please don't be quick to say laborer, pastor. The Bible says you are God's what? Called what?
Laborer.
It's in scripture now. You are God's called what? Laborer. So the first laborer is you. Before you start looking, you understand? But many of us, even in the labor of harvest within us, look at our nature. We are willing. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a what?
Householder.
Did you hear that? House what?
Holder.
Householder, husbandman. So when you are talking about, firstly, your house, the house of God. Are you saying, which went out early in the morning to hire what? Into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into what? His vineyard. This is what happened to us. This is what should happen to everybody. That he goes out, every believer received this first call. Okay? Oh yeah, everybody, what is your reward? Your reward is salvation. And a day he sent them into his vineyard. And when about the third hour, and saw others standing idle here. Many of us, we are idle in the program of harvest of our souls. Third hour, let's say 3 years, you have been born again, you are still idle. 10 years, you are still idle. They came again, go again now. He said, they went about the sixth, what? He said, go ye also the vineyard, whatever is right, I will give you. What? And they went their way. Came again, sixth hour. We have been talking about being spiritual, being Christ. And sixth hour, ninth hour, you still never confirm. We are not saying charity is this. Are you understanding me? Jesus is authorizing you again. Say, go again. He said, about the 11th hour, he went on. You know, some people, imagine, till the very last time. He said, I do. Say, I do ness. I want us to read verse 11. To say that, you see this housebound man, they call him the good man of the house. He's a good man. He said, when they had received what? It. They murmured against who? The good man of the house. The good man of the house. So unwillingness. Unwillingness. Say unwillingness.
Unwillingness.
One of the reasons why laborers are few. Unwillingness. Idleness. Not understanding that there's a call. There's also another set of laborers. These ones are zeal without performance. The parable of Matthew 21. Can we read this? He said, but what think he? A certain man had to what? Two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go walk in my vineyard. Some of us, yes, we started our Christian faith. Yes, I will walk for you. You know, and he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he did what? You see, repentance is one of the things that every ground need. He went out to repented and did what? Begin to walk. Then look at the second son. These are the zeal performance. Okay, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They said the first one. Because people say zealous. Zeal without performance. You know, many things that are happening in our church is zeal. Men are zealous. You understand? Men have charisma, but there's no performance. You see, God's people, God wants us to begin to have high judgment. That every zeal must produce harvest. Every zeal must do what? And we have a lot of zealous people. You can be zealous in prayer, zealous. But when it comes to doing things, when it comes to response of the Lord of the harvest, you fall short. You see, you can, and that's why when Jesus was saying, when you know those group, he said, to the those in the goats, when I was this, I did this. Lord, we did this for you. We did this for you. We did that for you. You can be doing that for him. But if you are doing what will not give him to have harvest, you are wasting your time. May we not waste how many years of our life? 40 years, 50 years. You have just been marking time on earth. You don't understand? You have attendance on earth. But yet, they can't record harvest. They can't record change. They can't record that, we are beginning to harvest his soul. It's only the spirit that they have harvested. Because people, then you are like these servants. Now the consequence and the concept of the great harvest. Jesus spoke of a plenteous harvest and a great harvest. We saw that, right? In Matthew 9, the one we read earlier. The plenteous harvest pertains to the quickening of dead spirit through what? Faith in the Lord Jesus. Can we say that, church? The plenteous what? Harvest what? Yet, this does not constitute the entirety of God's harvest in man, as his soul still requires labor to be cultivated, nurtured, renewed, and transformed into the what? Image of the Son. Ephesians 2:1, you have it quickened, who was dead in sin and trespass. Romans 12:2. Perfect will of God. Romans 8:29. He said, for whom he did for new, he did what? Please, you shouting, son of God, you don't know that this is the scripture. So diligent labor is required for man to attain the fullness of God's intended harvest, particularly in the cultivation of the soul. Unlike the new birth, which occurs without works from the individual. Now read this. Say it together. The great harvest is wrought in partnership with the believer himself and other laborers, whom the Holy Ghost, the Lord of the harvest, brings alongside his growth, nurturing, and maturity. So we can see, and if you look at even the words of plenty, plenteous, I think in dictionary means abundance, maybe it's rich in supply. But when you talk about great talks about largeness in size, largeness in scale, largeness in quality, largeness in essence. So you can see that the Lord is interested in grace, not just plenteous. The Lord just doesn't want to reap everybody, yes, to be born again. He wants people to come into fullness so that we even will not be populated with babies. Have you ever thought how Christianity would have been in Nigeria, for an instance, if we had a lot of believers who are spiritual? You know, we have a lot of people that go to church.
church in Nigeria is plenty. But if all our churches are nurturing and producing, you know, men and women that have come to the stature of Christ, do you think our government will be like this? Because let me tell you, some of our leaders, they claim they are born again. And I don't doubt that they are born again. Honestly. I don't doubt they are born again, no. Some of you don't believe. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that their spirit was quickened. But where the issue is that there has not been cultivation. There's no harvest. That's why things pull them. So you can say that even our earth needs men who are matured. Amen. Now, the quickening of the spirit positions us to become a field where labor for the great harvest can be bestowed. The soul is required to mature and bring forth fruit to be harvested. Without diligent labor on the field, the ground will not yield its full what? Strength. We have read that Ephesians 2:8-10. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, verse 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had what? Ordained before that we should walk in them. Amen. The believer's soul is matured and nature is cultivated within it so that it may bring forth fruit of life. And the harvest encompasses the various stages of spiritual growth. So when you say harvest, we are talking about growth. Say growth. The various stages. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it must move from an ultimately coming into eternal life. Therefore, there's an harvest into life, an harvest into life everlasting, an harvest into what? Eternal life. And every one of us must be what? Must be able to, you know, come into all of this. And it's obvious, John 10:10. Where to steal and to destroy? And I have what? 10:10. So the thief cometh. So what God wants to give us is what? Life abundantly. He doesn't just want to give us life. He wants us to give us what? Life abundantly. The manner of harvest cannot be fully reaped on crusade ground in a single moment of conversion. So the plenteous harvest will gather many into church, as we read in Acts. Acts chapter what? 2 verse 47. So it will gather men into church. Amen. But, you know what? The intended purpose of great harvest must be souls who will now submit to what? Into homes. Souls that will be distributed into what? Homes, households, discipleship structures under the church care where what? Continual what? Labor is bestowed upon souls until they attain God's desired what? Harvest. It's interesting to know because it's actually that mindset that is not allowing growth in a lot of believers. You know that? So people come to church without an understanding that the reason for church is for growth. People come to church maybe to have a social standard. Oh, I get to Love Seal Church. I get to Neon Living Way Church. You know, it's like a status. You know, people don't come to church with a mindset of growth because how we know that they are not saved? We saw it in Acts chapter 6 now. Distribution, when they began to distribute to widows. You understand? Some people call Obi. Let's say we are from the north. We are from the south. Imagine we are all together. These people are from the west. That was what happened. So it showed that there has not been what? Salvation. It showed that there were still things that were what? You remember Ananias and Sapphira? You will wonder that how we are Ananias and Sapphira. With this kind of, you know, so it shows that there's still work to be done. So the Lord gives every assembly his own wisdom. That's why it is not correct, my sisters and brothers, for you to be in a church, you don't integrate and submit. Say submit. Submit to the program. Different churches have their own. They say, if they tell you it's house fellowship, join house fellowship. Don't do Sunday. Sunday darabin will not get you anywhere, my brothers. You know, there's one drug like that. It will not get you anywhere. You know, some people, they don't even know that their church has midweek program. They don't know. Go and audit it. Ask some of your colleagues, hey, your church, you see, when do they meet? They will tell you we meet on Sundays. And the time they will tell you is the time they go to church. Some people don't know that their church starts at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. So, you see, the church, through wisdom of, you know, vessels he has raised, he does what? Creates different integration. Discipleship group.
You see, you if that, the way that discipleship group, the Lord will raise it. You can even bring harvest, plenty harvest. Do you know that you can, the discipleship can hold in homes and even your neighbors will say, ah, it's like you people always have meeting. Can I join? And they might be coming for discipleship without even coming to church. Excuse me, the harvest we are talking about is not harvest into Love City Church. It's harvest of God. Can we be passionate about that? You know, some people, some believers are particular about harvest to their church. What we are teaching you, we are not teaching you to grow the numbers of Love City Church. You know, it's okay. You know, people can be discipled in all those places, in our household and homes, and they can be sent forth to nations of the earth. And you won't know that maybe the person even came to visit somebody, and in this short time, work has been done. Quack, 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 quack. And the next call, you get it. Ah, it's like something is happening here in his own living room, wherever he is, whether it's Afghanistan or Kutuwenji or wherever. He says, you know, that was what happened in the early. He says, send men to us. Because this thing has become something. Send men to us. So send men. We need people. It's like this thing is working. You know, it is good that when a disciple knows that, you mean that this thing can work? You know, one of the things that will happen in our discipleship groups is that you will just see that supply will come. Some of you, the gift of the Spirit will rest. Some of you, some graces will just abound. You just find that, it's like I can interpret tongues. It's like I can do this. It's like grace will come. Some of you, your own heart will be to reach out to the newcomers. Because you know that our homes, our disciples groups are mini churches for the harvest to be nurtured. The church are now sold. Ghana for the plenteous harvest and fields for the great harvest. Fruitfulness of the heart. So before the coming of the Lord Jesus, God labored with prophets, priests, kings, and every willing heart to gather different measure of harvest according to each soul's response to him. Yet, it was not possible to bring forth the precious fruit, which had what? Been his burden and desire through ages. I hope you know that. Hebrews 1:1, it says what? God who has sundering time, manners ahead, made to us in time past by what? Prophets. As in this last year, spoken to us by what? Son, whom he was appointed heir of all things, by whom also he has made the world. So God's desire is that, you know, he has seen that through God labored, has labored with prophets, with kings, but in this day, his willingness is to have men. And Hebrews 11:39-40, he says that, and these having what? Obtained a what? A good report through faith. Received not what? Read this. But God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So they played a good report, but they didn't commit the harvest. So they received not the promise. And across generation, a few men have obtained measures of fruitfulness and obedience. Yet the fulfillment of the harvest was first realized in our Lord Jesus, who collabored with what? The Father. Yielded himself wholly as what? Good ground to the workings of God. And what did our Lord Jesus do? He brought forth precious and pleasing fruit unto the Father in fullness, becoming the first complete expression of God's intention for man. Say our Lord Jesus.
Our Lord Jesus.
He collaborated with God, yielded himself, and came to us. Colossians 1:18-19. For he is the head of what? The body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him, in all things, he might what? Have the preeminence. Then 19. For he pleased the Father that in him shall what? All fullness dwell. So our Lord Jesus was able to come into that fullness. And to bring many sons into the great harvest, a Ghana must be established. There should be an environment just like was revealed in our Lord Jesus. And within the setting where the supply of the Spirit will properly what? Earnest. In the end of our Lord Jesus' life, one of the things Hebrews 2:10 tells us that his desire is to bring many sons to what? Glory. Jesus is our champion, right? But God wants to raise Elohim's champions. He wants to raise many, many champions. He wants to raise this brother, this sister, a champion. You know, the Lord doesn't just want to wave one. He wants to wave many. An harvest. Say harvest. Every harvest of the dead must be gathered together for further sorting, nurturing, and labor in the order for the Lord's work to be brought to completion in the believer's life. This work cannot be accomplished in isolation, for the adversary often takes advantage of separation and lack of accountability to hinder growth and promote unfruitfulness. What does Hebrews 10:25 quote? Assembly of the bread coming together as a manner of some, but exhausting one another so much more as you see the what? I don't believe that we should have anybody that likes not to come to church. If you like not to come to church, see any of your brother, any of our pastors, let's minister to you. But you see, the harvest that the Lord is coming, it cannot be done in isolation. The Lord is raising isolated Christians. The Lord is creating thoughts that make you think that, he said, them without us cannot be what? They not be made perfect. You can't come to the great harvest in isolation. So I want to believe that we have gone past it. But if you see struggle with assembly, you see struggle with, I just like to be on my own. That thing is evil. You know, we have said it. It is not, you know, some people think it makes them, you know, this phrase we also use, she's very reserved. Go and check it. Oh. So a reservedness will not deny you of harvest. It's true. It's true. You can't be in a home and reserve. Is there any, say, you are in a home and you are reserved? Do you have children like that? We can have children who are quiet, but you can't be reserved towards the members of your home. So God places such believers in churches, in homes, and also so they are thoroughly nourished. Okay, we've talked about this through this ordained structure. Psalm 68:6 is set what? The solitary where?
In family.
And what? The rebellious where? So when you quote that scripture, quote it finish. So that you know it's not only solitary in families. But when you choose not to be set in families, you will drain dry land. That's just what that scripture is saying. If you choose to separate yourself, choose to move yourself, you will be dry. I'm telling you. I don't know if anybody has experienced that season where you separated yourself and you will just be dry. You will just be dry. They say dry land. That means dry hearts. The church of God is family. Say family. And the home is most basic or granular unit. Every believer is brought into the family of God and made a member of his household. Therefore, each believer should be properly integrated and positioned within both the church and the constituted what? Households, where they can receive nourishment, grow in maturity, and effectively participate in God's purpose. God's people, we should not have stray dogs in church. We should not have goats in church. People that rear goats, it's a lot of work. Stubborn. They don't like shelter. They just like stubborn. You know, you can come to church as a goat. You can come to church as a dog. You know, but don't stay there. Convert. Say convert.
Convert.
Convert and become sheep. I think Colossians 2:19 talks about the household of faith. Yeah, the head of the church. He said, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have what? Nourishment ministered and knit together. So the church and the household are made of interdependent members who receive and supply grace for the growth of the whole. Therefore, the health and the progress of each member affect what? The entire what? Body. I would have wanted us to read that 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 12 to 27. Just to know that when you are not growing, it affects us. You know when you are not growing, it affects us. Do you know that many times, especially, you know when some of our pastors come, there's a way the Lord might have moved them to go in a direction. But when our soul gather, because some souls have not grown, you keep drawing us back when you are not growing. You know, the eye cannot say to the... I'm just trying to say that many times you will belittle what you mean to us. You are not small in the body. I don't know, there's a way we look at our life and say, it doesn't. Your life matters to us. Your growth matters to us. Imagine all of us, how many of us here, and they've walked Christ in you and I. What a beautiful church. But growth, can I say growth? Say growth. Your growth affects everybody. If any part of your body is not doing well, are you okay? You're not okay now. But sometimes some bodies have even learned to manage some sickness. I don't know some sickness you manage. But you know that you are not optimal. You're not optimal because you would have done better if everybody is actually what? Thriving. So God expects us to grow. Say God expects us to grow. Now, the evidence, the call for growth within our soul, the evidence of a heart awaiting the great harvest is a passionate pursuit of growth expressed through obedience and the transformation is submit to God's cultivation through church and the discipleship structure. Say
my evidence of growth
is expressed through obedience and transformation as it submit to God's cultivation through the church and his discipleship structure. Please, when they say read Bible, read this Bible. When they say we are reading this, when they say we are joining prayer, please do all those labor. Hallelujah. The adversary seeks to lay men waste and render them barren, delighting to see them what? Isolated, rebellious, and what? Dry, without capacity to bear fruit unto God. He makes believers uninterested or weary of the programs designed to ensure consistent growth unto maturity for harvest. Can we read Proverbs 24:30-34? I went by the field of the slothful, and the vineyards of the man, void of what? Understanding. And lo, it was grown with what? Covered what? Thorns and needles, and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall, therefore, was what? Broken down. Okay? Then I saw and considered it well. And I looked upon it and received what? Instruction. Yet a little slumber. A sleep, a little slumber. A little folding of hands. So shall what? Poverty come as one that travel. This thing is not only when you are not doing business. Sure, you read it from the beginning. What they are talking about is when you are slothful. Your vineyard, and that means it is you. It's not only, you know, a little, you know, we call this a little folding of the hands, a little slumber. So your poverty, but you can be poor in the spirit. You can have material substance and yet you are poor with that. Nothing inside. So many of us, one of the things the adversary does is to make us weary. Say weary. Kilo day every time, meeting. Kilo day, we are praying every time. Kilo day, but man of God will say, let us read this Bible. Because people, it is for our growth. Let me tell you, the beauty of all of this is that when you apply yourself, I'm giving us 5 years. Go and check yourself. If you have applied yourself to these things, you'll be amazed. You will see the quality of a believer that you are becoming. When you are speaking, others, they will not be able to speak because you have fetched out instruction through knowledge. So we can have believers who will not apply themselves in church. You don't apply yourself. You not say, I'm not growing. In fact, I used to have that. A lot of sisters, hey, mama, I'm not growing. How will you grow? Your church that you are in. They say this. Are you there? They say couples this. Your relationship and marriage is having issues. Are you applying yourself to every resource? Because let me tell you, the issue of growth, many times believers think growth is on the Lord. You lie. What did I say? You lie. Bible says grow thereby. It looks like growth self. You have the power to grow. It means that power means your ability to apply yourself. It's the Lord that brings, because some people, they are yourself, it's the Lord that brings increase, except a man laborers. Yeah, thank you for quoting. But Jesus that gives advice, Jesus said grow. I'll just read this. You know, the adversary doesn't just make men barren. There's another thing he does. He can also sow seeds to distract believers from growth. Amen. So that, you know, it will hinder God's work in their souls and ultimately fall short of the purpose. You know, therefore, believers, we must be zealous for growth so that we can resist slothfulness and complacency. There must be an upward response call. So we don't settle on our list. Let's settle on our list. Let's read Zephaniah 1:12 and quickly Jeremiah 4:11. Just to explain that thing to us. Zephaniah 1:12. He said, "And shall come to pass at that time candles and punish the men that have settled what? On their list. That say in their hearts that God will neither do what? Good or what? Even Revelation says, I will spew you out. This is lukewarm. This is what he says. You are never hot, you are cold. Then let's read that Jeremiah 48:11. This is from his youth, and he has been settled on what? On his lease, and has not been what? Emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither had he gone into captivity. Therefore, he stays what? Remain. And he said, it's not what? The reason why you have remained as you are is because you have not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Now, to explain the fermentation and the production of wine, one of the things that must happen is that, you see, the production of wine, you must be poured from one vessel to another. What that thing does is that it separates it from dregs. It keeps it what? Clean. So that if you leave it undisturbed, what's going to happen is that it will gather sediments and the wine will be ruined. So when they say lees is sediments, they are yeast. They actually are at the bottom, but they are supposed to help the wine. So in wine production, they must move it from what? Vessel to what? Vessel to what? Vessel. If you leave it that wine will be ruined. Now, one of the reasons why, you know, when we say from faith to faith, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, you know, some of us, we have this, you know, how it is, you continue, we don't desire, there's no desire. The one thing it will handle is slothfulness and complacency. You say your saints remained and is not changed. It's not changed, no change. So if you don't desire and apply yourself, then change will not come. Then the harvest will not happen. Let's now read this in conclusion together. There's a call in the spirit for every believer to awaken to the great harvest, yielding to God's provision and dealings through the church and households, that they may mature, advance in his purpose, and attain the harvest that brings utmost pleasure. Can we lift up our hands, church, and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to grow. I want the process of harvest to be done on my within.
Thank you, our Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I see strongly that at the end of this lesson, that heaven will have succeeded to take away your ignorance from you. And when they take away ignorance from you, it's dangerous. They said in the book of Hebrew, said the day of ignorance, the Lord has winked at. Immediately they take away ignorance, they expect you to have repentance. So if you don't repent, there's going to be discipline. I perceive that strongly as the teaching was going on.
Jesus, shofar prati fetene faro fashta fenoka, shofar matafito fante krete santo kom prokati suntali, talailo tenimuna katali ante muna shofar, 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 I'm sounding it loud. I'll raise it high. I'll ensure that it goes high. It is raised high. Oh, but see that you tie your heart. See that you tie your heart to these things. See that your heart is keenly tied even to these speakings, even for a transformation, even for a proper engagement, even for a turning. For I will do the shofar, I'll do the loud, I'll do it loud, I'll make it loud, I'll sound it loud, I'll do my part. But see that you also do your part. Do your part. Oh, do your part. Oh, for the reaping. Even for that which is to be reaped. Do your part. See the Spirit of God.
Amen. So I persist strongly that they will take, but they take ignorance from you and they expect you to produce fruit. If you don't produce, there's going to be a lot of discipline that will come with it. I perceive strongly. I'm sensing it with a lot of every strong, I know when, it's not me, I'm not just the one talking. I perceive it strongly. So to lead the initiative, to properly cause us to align. I feel like I said, God is expecting a result. God is expecting something. But God will cause people to have the vision of what the Lord is intending to do in this season. I said, there's a door of opportunity that we must not miss. If we miss it, it may not be used. I feel that there will be a bit of consequence to that. When this lesson began to come to my heart, it had been some few months ago. The essence of this lesson, it was glaring. We have taken time to explain between the plenteous and the great harvest. That the plenteous harvest are the harvest we have taught, reaching the unbeliever. They are and in the Christendom, many people have said they are. It's not the plenteous harvest, how to do an harvest of regenerated spirit human being. They are plenteous. But God's intention is not just to have the harvest that are plenteous. God's intention is to have great harvest. Joka spoke about two of them. The plenteous harvest and the harvest of what? Great harvest. And the great harvest had to do with the harvest in the house. Like Bible say, in the great house is the harvest. In that book of Timothy, in the great house is the harvest. And you talk in the great house, and not only vessel of this. When you use the word vessel, vessel are souls. Are souls. So when you hear the word great harvest, it's talking about the great house. I talk about the great house, in the great house. So, and also when you hear the word the great harvest, it also means God's ultimate desire. God's ultimate desire is to raise men with so great salvation. To raise men with so great salvation. Or to raise men that can house the great God. Men that can house the great God. Because it's not easy to house. If a great man is coming to your house, you know there's some houses that you can't bring the great man into. Because you know. Because you know if a great man is coming, it's going to come with a lot of things. So it says in the great house are not only vessels of silver and of gold. But we have to become the kind of vessel. So that great house means that God's intention is to make us house of gold and precious stones. It's very, very important to us. And this lesson is about to conduct. The second thing I want to quickly emphasize is that the great harvest is not outside the wall. God's great harvest is not going to be done outside the wall. Or then that are without. When I say without, I'm not talking about unbeliever alone. Even when you are a Christian. If you're a Christian, if you have not have access to the secret things of God, you are still without. Jesus told the disciple that came to ask him, why do you speak to the people in parable and not plainly? He said, to them, it is not given, but to you, it is given to know the mysteries. This mystery means secret. Secret means hidden truth. So, great harvest cannot be done without. Great harvest are done when you have access to him. And God does not give secret, mystery, hidden things. That's what they call it, hidden things, outside. So, great harvest is harvest among those that are committed. That are committed. And God is committed to. God has expectation. So, the two Ghana that God has designed to reap great harvest is the church that God wants to raise from great harvest. And the second place that God expected great harvest, great harvest, is homes and household. Your home is a cultivating ground. Let's quickly see Psalm 128. Let's read. Blessed is every man that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor. Say labor. Say labor. Because we are talking about every harvest require labor. Can you see? Thou shalt what? Eat the labor of thy hands. Eh? Then what? Everybody, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Okay, verse 3, look at it. Eh? Thy wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the side of thy house. Every husband in this church, your house, I'm focusing on husband for one of your responsibility. Every man that fear God, and the man that responds to God, that God's intention to raise your wife in your house as a fruitful vine. What they are raising there is not our body. It's fruitful vine there is not giving babies. Vine is the, we read it in John chapter 15. Vine is what bring for wine. And vine is the highest harvest in everlasting life. You have olive, but the highest, the olive is younger than vine. So that's why God put solace to families, homes, and household is that God wants to raise our... That's why in this teaching, when we are talking about the great harvest, we can't talk because harvest is not only going to be produced when we come to church meeting. The place that God expects harvest is not just in the church. God expects harvest in every homes, household. Because your home is a planting ground. That's the thought of this lesson. The great harvest is going to come from your home. Because that man is already blessed. He will yield his labor. So it's telling that every man, you must labor over your wife. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thy labor. So before your wife can be a fruitful vine, harvest of vine, you partake of it. But if you don't bestow labor on your wife, if your wife does not become all that God can harvest, and well, God, the husband, man, and you also as the husband, there is a fruit you are going to receive. You shall eat the fruit of thy labor. Then it's not only your children that your wife is also going to be. Look at the next phase. Thy children, like the holy plant, round about thy table. You may read this thing. It's not talking about good after children. And they're going to surround your table. No. When you read the book of Malachi chapter 3, he said, for God desire godly seed through your union. So every household, every father and mother, every father must bestow labor on their children. God intention that from your children, God want to what? God want to make your children say what? Say olive. No, I said something. I say, olive is the beginning of everlasting. When you are a children, 1 John 2, all those little children, they are olives of everlasting life. They are all olives of everlasting life. They are olives. Different kind of different strength of olives. So God's intention that our children in our home should be olives. Secondly, also, if you are not married, brethren living together, God expects you that from there, God wants to harvest from you. You can't be living together in the house and you are playing Tom and Jerry. You know what those things. Some sisters are living in the house, but you are not free. Or your attitude to each other is not okay. See, God's intention that God wants to reap mature souls. Souls with fruits. God wants you to use each other to grow fruit of patience, fruit of endurance, fruit of long suffering, fruit of patience, fruits, kindness. If God wants to use, God wants to harvest it from our homes. God wants to harvest fruit of meekness. Husband is meek. Wife is meek. Brother to brothers are meek. Sisters are meek. Even when you are older in the house, you are meek. And you must older than 3 years, 7 years, 5 years. You are living together, but marriage has not come. You have to show meekness. You don't use age in the house. In your house that you're living together. Meekness must show, because meekness is a sign that you are growing. So the ground, you must know that you are not just living together because you need somebody to share payment together. Because house rent is expensive in Lagos. You are not just living together because house rent is expensive in London, in Europe, or in America, wherever you are. We know that we have virtual members. Wherever you are living with brethren, you must know that your homes, your household, 3-4 people living together, where 2 or 3 people are gathered together, you must know that God is using that place to cultivate. It's a garner for God. Your homes, your household is a garner for God. That place is a feed that God is using to grow you. And you must know that God will come, the Lord of the harvest will come to come and dig. And will come, and the Lord Jesus will come and look for fruits in your marriages. How you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you treat your children, how you treat brethren that are living with you, family, how brethren that live with them, brethren are not house help. Your brethren are not out of. Your brethren are Jesus people. They are Jesus people. God is expecting harvest from them. You must know this. They are Jesus people. They are the planting of the Lord. He said in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. He said it. He said, you shall be called. You shall be called. But they are not yet. They are not it. You shall. It's a futuristic thing. You shall be called. You are not yet it. Eh? Trees of righteousness. Eh? The planting of the Lord. That he may be glorified. God wants to call you. That you are a tree. That you are not a grass. Every man is grass. But God wants to turn you not to a grass. God wants to make you a tree. You are the harvest of the tree that God is looking, Jesus Christ is looking for. And the place that God wants to cultivate you is both in the church. Your office is the place where you go to show your good works. What God is cultivating, the fruit of it. Your boss, your colleague should be partaking of the fruit that you are bearing. Once in a while, God may do some things to them to water you. To water you, maybe by they do some things to you. God used to water you. Paul was talking in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I, Paul, planted. Apollo watered. But there can never, God cannot give increase if you are not going to bestow labor on yourself. Because he said it in that place. He said we are co-laborer together with God. So there's no increase if you're not going to co-labor. God give it increase. But God has given increase. We are co-laborer together with him. God does not give increase if you're not going to co-labor with God. Verse 9. For we are co-laborer together with God. Take note of that. We are co-laborer together with God. I, Paul, planted. Apollo, water. God gave increase. But God does not give increase in isolation without collaborating with him. So, for God to give increase, there must be joint. You know, they call it joint task force. So, you should have, God and you do the tasking together. You and God do the labor together. That's why they call it joint task force. That means you join God together to bring increase. And it's not just only attending meeting. You must bestow labor. I know that we are busy people, but you must be like that wise servant that he make lead to be able to use his master's this thing to profit his own soul, to build an everlasting habitation for himself. You must know this. You must know this. You must know this. You must know this. That is very, 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 very important. Psalm 128, the last two verses. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the day of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children, peace unto Israel. Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb. Say that, say fruit. So God expects fruits. When you say fruit of the womb, I know that I'm not just talking about, I know we say women, God will bless the fruit of the womb. It's good. But here we was talking about, fruit of the womb are his reward. And we say the reward of God was that Revelation chapter 12. That man child company in the womb of that mother. That was the fruit of the womb. He was the one that he gave permission to sit upon the throne. Say, cut up to God and his throne. God came to receive harvest here on earth. God came to receive fruit from the womb. So you must know that God's intention for you is that God wants you to be this fruit of the womb. You also find it in Psalm 110. Want to go, let's read it together. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou art the dew of thy youth. God is looking for the dew of his youth. God wants to harvest from the womb of the morning. God wants to harvest the dew of his youth. What is you? God wants the dew of his youth to be the one that will speak at God's enemy at the gates. God has enemies. But God knows that nobody can speak to his enemy. He needs to raise dew of youth. What is dew of youth? Men that have strength in their soul. And what is strength? Life. Strength of life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The glory of the youth is their strength. God is looking. And but that thing will not come out from the womb. So when you talk about the fruit of the womb there, I know we can use it for everything, but it's talk about there's a kind of thing that God wants to raise. God wants to raise youths. Youth is not physical body, but men that are youthful in their soul. That he can use to speak at the enemies at the gate. God wants to raise youth in our soul. What did they call the youth? He said, they are the what? Fruit of the womb. I want you to know that God wants us to become his fruits that will come from the womb of his morning. My prayer is that this lesson, if we go back home, in our homes, husband and wife, children, we will take time to review this lesson and prayerfully engage them. Ask God for instruction and light for us to be able to be a manner of people that we become fruitful and will become God's planting and becomes God's tree, and that we're going to bestow labor together with God on ourselves in the name of Jesus. Book of Philippians, he said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I pray the Lord will work out mercy upon every one of us in the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.